If you can turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 21, verse 1 to 25. It's John chapter 21, verse 1 to 25. This is a slightly longer passage, so try and hear it as a story from beginning, middle to end. And to hear any good story, you need to hear sort of what was going on beforehand. Before we read this passage, I just want to let you know that Jesus Christ was crucified. He died. But the amazing thing was 3 days later, he rose again. And he appeared to his disciples. He appeared to many other people. But there's still a couple that he hasn't appeared to yet. And this is where we're going to begin the story. So John chapter 21. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon, Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the son of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you're younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumor spread among the brothers that the disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies to these things, and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for the new life, for the new hope that we have, for the great love that we have in Christ through the power of the resurrection. Today, Lord, as we study your word, may you help our lives be full with the hope that comes from you. And help us also, Lord, to really be changed, to seek anew our calling in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, here we are in John. And as you know, I'm continuing to talk about the resurrection. This is the last message I'm going to be talking about in the resurrection concerning Easter. I'll definitely be talking about it more in the year. But concerning Easter, I just wanted to talk about one last thing about the resurrection. And I thought about this last passage in John, which has sort of a special meaning for me. But for you to really understand, I guess, the full gravity of what we just read, I need to kind of walk you through the journey of one particular person in the Bible, and his name is Peter. And as we read in the Bible, we read that Peter started as a very simple fisherman. And life was just very everyday for him. I'm sure he didn't have any big aspirations. It's hard to say what he was going to be, but he was in a trade. He was doing his day-to-day duties. And then all of a sudden, someone appeared and changed everything, and that was Jesus. Jesus came before him and changed his whole life, his whole thinking, his whole direction. His whole view of the world expanded, and he was excited to lay his life down on the line for it. You see, before, he was simply a man just catching fish. But God said, I'm calling you for a much bigger catch, to fish for people, to do things not just for your own little kingdom, just to earn your own daily wages, but to earn wages for the kingdom of God, to do a greater work. Can you imagine? His world was so small before, but when Jesus came into his life, everything seemed bigger. Everything had so much potential. He had such dedication, and he had such excitement. We read that throughout the Gospels, Peter was so excited to serve this Jesus that had changed his life, that he would say things like, I will never leave you. And he said, even I will die for you, Jesus. There was a moment that was very intimate where he came before all of his disciples and he said, you know, I'm here not as your master, but I'm here as your servant, and so I'm going to wash your feet. Peter saw this in all of the excitement. He said, don't just wash my feet, wash my whole body. And Jesus loved Peter, but, you know, he said, Peter, you're missing the point. That's not the point. The point is, this is the model. This is what it's like to follow Jesus, to serve others. It's not about me washing your whole body. It's about serving others. And that kind of shows that Peter was very well-meaning. Peter had a lot of heart. But sometimes he didn't quite get it right. He had great zeal, great passion. And undoubtedly, with such passion, he must have judged those who didn't share his passion. But the thing is, Jesus knows who we are. He knows us beyond our expectations of ourselves. He knows us beyond our expectations of other people. He knows the truth about us. He knows our strengths, and he knows our weaknesses. You see, Jesus knew Peter even better than he knew himself. When Jesus was trying to warn his disciples and tell them about what was to come, he said, you know, I'll be very honest with you guys. Even though we started with 1,000, and I know the thousands, they just come and go as they please. Even amongst this 12 that has stuck with me through the thick and thin of these 3 years of my ministry, even amongst this 12, one of you will betray me. And not just that, all of you are going to leave me. And then I'm going to die. But the good news is that I will rise again. But you see, Peter didn't hear about the good news. All I could hear was that, no way, that's not me. I'm not going to be like that. I'm not going to be the one that betrays you, Jesus. I'm not going to be the one to sell you out. I'm not going to be the one. In fact, I'll even die with you. But you see, Jesus knew better. And Jesus looks at Peter with a lot of love, and he says, you know, Peter, even you will deny me 3 times. When the cock crows, the truth will be evident. And even though Peter insisted that he would not abandon Jesus, Sure enough, he denied him 3 times. On the night that he was betrayed and given over to his enemies, in the moment when Peter's devotion counted the most, that is when Peter denied him. And it's a hard story, but it's a powerful story. And there's a lot of truth in it to us. And I wanted to bring it home to us. What happens when you don't live up to those expectations that you once had? You know, I was thinking maybe some of you who have been in the faith for a long time, maybe you started with a lot of zeal and excitement that Jesus came into your life. And he changed everything. He changed your perspective on things. He even gave you a new name. Just a new way of doing things, a new identity, a new way to look at the world. And there was such excitement. And you remember the things you did in the name of that excitement. And you really felt at those moments very much in line with what Peter was saying, is that, Jesus, I'd never leave you. I'd never forsake you, Jesus. But what happens in those moments when you just come face to face with your weakness? You come face to face with that moment where the cock crows, and then all of a sudden, it just, your bubble pops, and you realize how weak you are. That when temptations come, when the trial comes, when you think that you will be so strong, the cock crows and reminds you that you are so weak. There are times that you've been so willing and so wanting to be a good Christian. You've been wanting to be the best that you can be. But that moment comes and you're totally exposed. And you know, as we were doing our devotions for the Holy Week, there's a very powerful thing. I don't know if you guys realized, but that when Peter denied Christ 3 times, it wasn't in this faraway room and Jesus didn't know about it. Jesus was actually within distance to see it. When the cock crowed, Jesus saw him. Can you imagine how Peter felt? When the denials are going on, there was Jesus within view. And when the cock crowed, Jesus just turned and looked at Peter. And Jesus knew what had happened because the cock crowed. And in that moment, Peter looks at his Lord and his Master. And can you imagine what was going through his mind? All those years of all those quick promises, all those times that I was getting upset for Jesus, the times where I was getting, you know, so passionate for Jesus. And all of us have come to a place like that. We have wanted to be so much more. But then there's that moment where we're just like, but I'm not. And maybe you haven't gone through that moment yet. And I think maybe some who are more experienced in life will probably tell you there's always a moment in life where we do come face to face with our weaknesses. Where we want to be so much, but we discover how little we are. In our idealism, we forge ahead, excited about God. But now we're at this turning point. We have to face our failures. And often, the way we want to proceed is to kind of say, you know, it was okay. It wasn't so bad. Or we're just so confused. We don't want to deal with it. We avoid the situation completely. And we don't want to admit it. And no wonder, after this betrayal, after this denial, Peter, after he hears that his Lord was not just betrayed, but died brutally on a cross. Can you imagine all those promises? Jesus, I'll do everything for you. But he couldn't stand up for Jesus. And then he hears later that his Master has even been crucified and persecuted like a horrible criminal. What does Peter do now? We pick up the story of Peter in John chapter 21. We read that he goes back to fishing. He goes back to what he did before he met Jesus. And there's a temptation when we come to the failures in our Christian lives or when we have struggles, we want to just forget about the whole thing. I remember when I was younger, in high school, I was very excited to share the gospel with a friend of mine. And she accepted Christ. But later on, she said, oh, you know, I think I was just kind of in a moment. And maybe it wasn't a good idea, and yeah, I don't think I meant it. And so she didn't want to admit she was a Christian anymore. And it was so disappointing for me, and it was like, oh man, what do I do? And I felt so tempted to just like, oh, I'm never going to do this again. After such disillusionment, Peter goes back to his life before Jesus. They didn't know what else to do. The vision that was so bright once was now gone. And this is where the power of Easter comes in. This is why John chapter 21 is really powerful for me. And I want to share a very wonderful verse that I cling to very often. John chapter 21, verse 1. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples. This is the good news of the resurrection. You know, we come before God with all sorts of confidences in our life. And we fail. Sometimes we fail miserably. But the good news is John 21, verse 1 says, Jesus appears again to us. Peter let down Jesus in every way possible. But the good news is that Jesus sought him out. You see, he didn't wait for Peter to get his act together to realize one day as he's fishing nets, oh man, why am I doing this? I just heard from like Mary that, you know, he's risen again. I should get my act together and figure out where the risen Lord is. And so he just puts it away. No, you see, he didn't get it. He was kind of hiding. He was hiding in his past. And the fact is, Jesus sought us out and appears again to us. When we're suffering from failure, it's so important to know that Jesus appears to us again. When we fail as students, as children, as employees, as Christian disciples, or anything, it's so tempting to just run back to what we know best. For the disciples, it was fishing. What is it for you? Is there a place in your life where you feel like this is where I run away to when my life with God isn't going well? You know, when my Christian faith is kind of faltering, this is kind of the place I think that, you know, I just try and avoid God. But it's at that place that God wants to meet you and seek you out. It's at that place he wants to even feed you and even make you breakfast. He wants to do a miracle there, as we read. You see, the disciples were out there fishing, and Jesus comes, and they don't quite get the picture. They don't realize that's Jesus on the shore there. And Jesus, right before them, says, hey, did you guys catch anything? Just trying to act all like, you know, nothing's happening. And he says, why don't you try fishing there? Ah, what's this guy talking about? We've been fishing all night. We know what we're doing. This guy gives it a try. They pull in so many fish that they think the net's going to break. And it's at that moment they realize, wow, we've seen this kind of miracle before. Jesus has come to us. And you can see Peter so excited. Jesus has come to me. And he's just like swimming to the shore. And he's so excited, but then as he gets on the shore, can you imagine? Wait a minute. Do you remember the last time you saw him? The last time you saw him was when he was hanging on a cross. And there were two criminals hanging there, Peter, and you said that you were going to be one of them. You were going to be one of them hanging right there by Jesus if it had to come to that. And you weren't. You can imagine, as he's coming on the shore, as he's approaching Jesus, what's the conversation going to be like? Is it going to be like Jesus looking at him saying, like, man, I told you so. Look, I rose again. I told you so. Why did you doubt me, Jesus? You know, why did you doubt me, Peter? Or is it going to be like, Peter, I thought you were better than this. Look at me. You can't even fish. You can't even fish without me. Look, I need to help you out. You're so disappointing. How many times did you fail? 3 times, Peter. Do you remember that? I was there. I warned you so you'd get ready for it. I was even there watching you. And you see, sometimes that's what makes it hard to come back to Jesus. We get excited about coming back to Jesus, and then right before coming back to Jesus, we have all these thoughts in our heads. Ah, Do you remember the last time you saw Jesus and really cared about him? What's Jesus going to say? You haven't spent a lot of time with him recently. The decisions you've made in your life about your family and your job, let's be honest, you haven't really been looking for Jesus that much. You know, your walk with God right now is at an all-time low. When you come on the shore and you see Jesus there, out of his grace doing a miracle for you, I'm just going to feel bad. But that's not the message of the resurrection. That's a lot of times where we like to write in what we think Jesus is going to do. And this is the powerful thing about the resurrection. Just two things I want to talk about. Is that one, you are released from your past. And two, you're called forward to the future. Jesus looks at your past and he lets it go. And he says, I will now give you a new future. What do I mean by this? Let's look at this story further. You see, as he comes up, as Peter comes up to him, what is the conversation? Jesus looks at the failures of our life, the three times that we said no to him, and he gives us a chance to make it right. For three times that Peter said no, Jesus asks, do you love me? And I remember when I was younger, I was thinking, oh, that's so cruel. You know, that's just like driving home how much Peter messed up. But do you see, it's a new chance. It's almost like, Peter, I know what you did three times before. But let's go back to that past again. When those people are saying, do you know the Lord? Do you love Jesus? Let's go back to that place. Here's a chance to do it again, Peter. Rather than denying me, tell me what you really feel. And Peter, no doubt, looks back on that terrible night when Jesus needed him most. Do you love me? And Peter, rather than saying, I don't know the man, and starts cursing and swearing, he gets to say, yes, I love him. Yes, Jesus, I love you. And the third time is so painful because he realizes this is exactly what I should have done the first time. Do you love me? And now Peter realizes, you know, this is where I went wrong. I thought I could love you because I was so strong. I was so committed. I was so faithful. I had so much passion and zeal. He realized this is the truth. Jesus, you know all things. You know how weak I am. You know everything. Jesus, even though I've messed up so much, I love you. And that is the answer that Jesus is looking for us. You see, Jesus looks at our past and he says, you know, the past is not as bad as you think it is. I wasn't looking for this great Peter with a lot of big promises and great accomplishments. I wanted someone who was really honest to say, Jesus, here I am. Here I am with a lot of problems. I've made a lot of failures. But Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. God wants to free us from our past. He wants to free us from our poor choices and our mistakes. He wants to let you know that for every mistake, that his grace is more powerful. For everything that we've done wrong, Jesus can say, this is an opportunity to say, yes, I love you. Now's a chance to do things right with God's grace this time. Are there places in your life where you're thinking like, oh, I wish I did that better? Jesus looks on those moments and says, just turn them around. Release them. I release them. The fact that I've come here to look for you guys when you're hiding from me, I want you to know that all is forgiven. But you see, Jesus doesn't just forgive us and say, okay, but this time, I'm going to give you another chance. Don't mess up. That's what we think God does. But you see, he doesn't just let us go back to what we were doing and forgive us. He didn't just leave us on the shore. He said, you are released from your past, but there's something interesting he says every time Peter said, I love you. He also said, feed my sheep. You see, Christ not only releases us from the past, as I said, he also calls us to the future. You see, the resurrected Christ not only tells us to let go of the past, he also says, take up a new future, a new life, a new resurrection. You know, it's so easy to start that old game of like trying to get back into expectations again. You see, Peter was tempted to do that. He was like, what about that guy, Jesus? What's going to happen to him? You know, is he going to live or was he going to die? What's going to happen to him? And Christ says, don't look at that. That's what you did in the past, Peter. You thought you were so great before. Look at me. I'm so great because I make all these promises. I'm so strong. You see, Jesus is not interested in people like that. He says, don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Don't look behind you to your past. But look forward to the new calling. And what was that new calling we read here? John 21. He says over and over again to Peter, feed my sheep. You see, he was called to let go of the past and to take up his new calling. Before Christ's death, Peter was trying to do it all on his own. It's only once he encountered the resurrected Christ that he's ready now. It's only when you come face to face with your weaknesses and when you kind of reach rock bottom, that's when you're ready to receive the resurrection hope, to receive that new calling. You see, God doesn't want you to come here today to just keep spinning the wheels, to keep doing years and years of the same thing. Jesus wants to confront you today and says, let go of the past and take up a new life. For Peter, it was feeding his sheep. You see here, and you know, according to my Bible studies, and I don't know, I'd be open to be corrected, but according to my studies, I think what we're looking at here is the ordination of the first pastor. You see, he found his calling, not in the early days. Why didn't Jesus just like ordain him, kind of say like, feed my sheep, like earlier? I don't think he was quite ready yet. You see, if you want resurrection, you got to come first of all face to face with your past and let it go. You can't start a new life, a new calling in God if you keep holding on to the things of the past. If you keep wanting to be the fisherman, keep holding back to your life before Jesus. You know, I want to challenge us as a church. I know we've been around for a long time, and many of us have attended for a long time. But even in 2010, Jesus is calling us to come before him on the shore and say, I have a calling for you. I want you to move forward. And as I was praying for a lot of you this morning, before I came to church, I just wanted to speak. Maybe this isn't for everyone, but I felt like God wanted to speak to some of you today. Today, this year, is the year to come back to Christ, to the risen Christ. This year, you know who you are. You've been kind of dwelling with the old fishing nets. You've been kind of letting things just go to the wayside. But the resurrected Christ wants to call you and say, it's time to step up. It's time to increase and expand your calling. I'm not looking for just good, well-behaved Christians. I'm looking for people who will go with Peter and be able to take up that calling and to say, you know, when you're younger, someone dressed yourself and you went where you wanted. But when you're old, you'll stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. You see, before you just kind of went where you wanted to. But I want to challenge you to take that next step of discipleship, to say, Jesus, where do you want me to go? How do you want to dress me up for this day? This is the calling that God wants to call all of us to, even myself. And so as we go forward from the season of Easter, let us take up the new life, the new calling that comes from the resurrected Christ. not just for one of you, but for all of us. You are released from your past. It's the good news of the gospel. But as you go forward, you are now released to a new future in Christ. Let's all seek it together. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you so much that you do not want to hold our past sins against us. That God, you are compassionate and generous, slow to anger, eager to love us, quick to forgive. And so, Lord, we want to come before you with our failures and our struggles, and we want to release them to the past. And we ask that, Lord, you would give us a new future, a future in you. Help us to not look to the left or to the right, what other people are doing, to not look behind us to the past, but to look forward to you who walks ahead of us. Jesus, we pray that you would resurrect our walks and our journeys and our faith with you. In places where our love has gone cold, we pray for your reviving fire. We pray for renewal. We pray that the resurrection would be so powerful in our lives today. We pray because we know that we can't answer our own prayers, God. We are at your mercy. And so as we pray, we ask for your grace to make this a reality. We know that you are eager to do it, Lord. So we pray this in the confidence that comes by praying in your name, Jesus. Amen.